being known as like national runner up or national finalist instead of national champion is like, it hurts, you know, it hurts every day. And, you know, when it was on television, like we were all crying. We were all crying on national television.
But I mean, she was flying from, she flew to Boston, coming back to LA, and then we going back out to New York. Like, it's a crazy travel. Yeah, no, it's crazy. I feel like I'm in the league or something.
Come and watch an NYU game. You're going to be on the edge of your seat because you see these guys in purple or white, like truly battling for that win.
Welcome back to another episode, Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, here with my co-host, Neruda Perdomo. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see Ruda's outside. He's in Fort Lauderdale for spring break. I'm trying to get money with you, bro. But I don't know if you want to talk about your spring break trip or, you know, you finish your career. Great career, bro. Two chips. Super proud of you. Sportsman of the year. So just definitely like one of them ones. So just talk to me about how you feeling. You could take a spring break or your career. Just talk about like memories, people that got you there, all that.
I'm feeling really good right now, bro. Spring break, just to start, has been awesome. I rented a car while I was out here, a nice little Ford Mustang. So I've been zipping that around while I've been here. It's been
top down.
It's cool. Now I'm putting the top down, just driving by the beach, bro. It's a nice vibe, bro. I'm just living life. But basketball wise, it is crazy that it's over, man. You know, I was super emotional. I don't really think we talked about it too much, but super emotional after the game. You know, as soon as the game started kind of getting away from us in the second half, you know, I'm sitting on the bench and I was like, damn, trying not to get emotional, bro. And I really was trying, but the game started, the minutes started to go down, and I'm thinking about, you know, all the memories are starting to hit me, like, you know, playing college basketball, high school, you know, middle school. And when I finally went in, like, you know, I checked on the court, I was jogging up and I was like, damn, this is the last time I'm about to do this shit, bro. Like, so it started hitting me a little bit, bro. And I seen Coffee and I gave, you know, freaking Coffee, dude. That's my guy. I gave him a big hug. I was like, yo, no matter what, it's always been respect and love for you, coach. You know what it is. Like, thank you for bringing me here. And he said, love you, man. And went onto the court. And then when I got onto the court, just seeing Devin, you know, his eyes getting red and just all the guys getting emotional. And I ended up finishing the game. He subbed out some of the other seniors, but he kept me in with the freshmen, which was cool just because, you know, I remember when I was in that position trying to play in the NCAA tournament for the first time, wide-eyed and trying to get a bucket. So I was just emotional as hell, just cheering on my freshmen trying to get buckets, bro. And I was like, yeah, I'm not trying to shoot right now. I'm not in the mind space. But memories, I don't want this to take up too much time, bro. But
no, you're good.
But just memories, I mean – I think the first thing that I thought about was just, you know, my parents, like they supported me a lot through my basketball journey, like taking me to AAU games and just relentless support, even when, you know, the dream seemed like unreachable of playing college mm-hmm. hoops. And I respect them a lot. Like any of the coaches I had, like Coach Chris Coates, coach at Spartans, Coach Tyrese Gibbs, Spartans, Coach Coffee, Mitchell Kurz, coach, like, I don't call him coach, but Mitch, like, coaches like that have really made a big impact on my life, like, I'm truly grateful for. And teammates, like, my Kimball Union teammates in 2019, 2020, like, if any of those guys are listening, like, they truly changed my life for the better, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And they show me what it was like to be part of a team, and I'm grateful for that. So them, but yeah, bro, it was crazy journey, man. I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of different things. I have a lot of things in my mind right now, but basically all that to say, super emotional when the game ended, you know, dapping up Dayon the last time I was playing together, and Griffin, Devin. So, but in the end, you become grateful for it, that it happened. And you're sad that it's over, but grateful it happened. So,
no, 100%, bro. Like I said, one of them ones, bro, you had a great career. So, like you said, it's sad that it's over, but definitely be happy for how you went out, bro, because that's impressive. All you've done, battling through a bunch of adversity. I got a lot of respect for you, my boy. But
I mean, definitely blessed to have met you through basketball. I don't I can't imagine, you know, not doing this shit with you, this podcast shit, bro. I think, you know, going to Utica, I took a chance. Coffee took a chance on me too, but coming out to upstate New York, and it's one of the best decisions I've ever made, both with meeting some of my teammates at Utica, but meeting some of the people surrounding the school like yourself, bro. It's truly, truly blessed for it. So it all worked out in the end.
That's love. But let's talk about this episode today, bro. We got a really good one, interesting concept we did. So how it is we covered the quadrant of NYU hosts. So the teams are NYU, Hardin-Simmons, Redlands, and Hampton-Sydney. The first matchup is Hampton-Sydney versus Redlands. Hampton-Sydney and the ODAC, Redlands and the SKYAC, so all the way in Cali. And then the second matchup, NYU and Hardin-Simmons. Hardin-Simmons is in Texas, right, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, and NYU, obviously, New York. But we talked with
New York, player. NYU.
Huh?
NYU's in New York.
Go on. Nah, but NYU, we talked with a player on each team besides Hardin-Simmons. We couldn't get in touch with anybody over there. But Tristan Howe on NYU, he was the UAA Player of the Year. Great accomplishment. Adam Brazel from Hampton-Sydney, he was the ODAC Player of the Year. And then Chosen Amadi at Redlands, first team all-conference player. He's a dog. And it was really good conversation. We didn't talk strictly about the matchups, but more like a little about their careers and a little how they're feeling going into this matchup. So it was cool. I want to hear from you, and then we'll get into some predictions later.
I mean, the first one that's pretty fresh in my mind is Tristan, because we literally just filmed with him. But cool, great dude, great player, dude. I mean, he played at UVA. Huh?
I said super smart.
Yeah, super smart. Played at UVA, bro. Was a walk-on there. I mean, and he's killing D3 right now, dude. I mean, he's averaging 15 a game on 55% shooting from the field, 36% from three, 83% from the free throw line. So Tristan's a dog. 10 boards. Yeah, that's super tough. So that's, you know, he's both a great, great person, and he's elite. Another great person and an elite player, Adam Brazel. Shout out my boy Adam. He had some really thoughtful comments at the end of his episode, but truly just a bucket getter, bro. Honestly, like watching his game, like he just like I was watching their game against Pitt Bradford, and it was kind of close in the second half, but Hampton-Sydney, like, you know, that Hampton-Sydney, like Coach Kimbrough always talks about, like, they started getting a string of stops, and then they get those string of stops, and Adam Brazel in the fast break.
He started feeling himself.
Bro, he started feeling himself. He started pulling them transition threes. So it was he's a bucket, and obviously a great dude. Shout out, bro. I mean, truly, truly it's a bucket getter. Almost 1,600 points on the year, which is super elite. So shout out him for getting on. I don't know if you want to talk about the other two guys.
I mean, only the other guy. Chosen Amadi.
The other guy, excuse me. Yeah.
Chosen Amadi, he's having also a really good year, averaging 13 points per game in the SKYAC. But also, like, one thing about Chosen is he guards, bro. Like, Redlands, they don't have I think he lead in their team or second leading scorer. So it's not like he's averaging 13 because he's not a basket. It's just like Redlands has a bunch of scores. But he's also a dog, bro. Like, he's going to pick up – he's probably going to guard Adam, but he's going to pick up 94 feet the whole game while he's playing a lot or getting a lot of usage on the offensive end. Like, and he can score at all three levels too, which is tough. Like, the shot against Tufts, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but some elite shot, bro. Like, keep them alive in this tournament. And he's also got a really good mindset just about, like, staying present. They're not looking too far. So I think that this weekend, I think this is the best quadrants left. But we're going to see this weekend. It's going to be a lot of good games. So I don't know if you want me to start, but let's give our predictions for both games, like both games and then the following day, whoever you got in the next game too.
I mean, I'm going to have to say for the first game, NYU is going to beat Hardin-Simmons. Hardin-Simmons obviously a great team. Every team in the tournament is a great team, but NYU is – they're clicking at the right time, bro. They got a lot of firepower on their end. And you know, chemistry is crazy over there right now from what Tristan is telling us. So I feel like they're going to win. I got to go with Hampton-Sydney, right? Can't root against the home team, man. I mean, shout out Chosen, bro. He's cool as hell, but got a lot of love for Coach Kimbrough, and, you know, meeting Adam too, got a lot of respect for the Hampton-Sydney program. I think it's going to be a dogfight though, honestly. I think Redlands going to give them a run for their money. And then in the Elite Eight. Fuck, man. I don't know if I can pick this one, fam. All right. I guess I can't be political. I got to pick one. I'm going to go against the grain here, bro. I feel like Coach Kimbrough, he's probably locked in for Redlands right now, I know. But I know somewhere in the back of his mind he's creating a game plan for NYU, bro.
Yeah.
A game plan for NYU, and he's going to get the guys hyped up to play them, bro. You know what I'm saying? They're on the road all the way from Virginia. This is what I feel like Coach Kimbrough lives for. This is what the Hampton Sydney guys live for, just to be a dog, get it done, my boy. Get it done. So I got Hampton Sydney for sure.
Nah,
shout out Tristan and Hampton though from NYU though.
Shout out to all the guys that's been on the pod. It's no, we're not trying to say I'm not nice or that we're not rooting for you, because anybody we've had on, they're a friend of the pod. We're rooting for them big time. And at first game, I'm with you. I got NYU. Second game, bro, I'm gonna go against the grain on you, and I'm gonna pick Redlands. Again, no love lost for Coach Kimbrough and Adam, y'all my guys, but I think it's kind of tough when you're playing a team like Pitt Brad. They run and jump, and then there's no time to relax, bro. You got Redlands coming in. They're going to do virtually the same thing, and I think those guys are going to just be locked into a different level. This is probably all their first times being on that stage, and when you're on that stage and you've never been there before, it's easy to just play free, but I think it's a game. This is one of the games where either team can win. I don't think the same in the NYU Harden Simmons game. I think NYU probably going to dominate in that one. But I'm going to go Redlands. And then Lee 8 game, I'm going to also go NYU. I just think they're too deep, bro. They got 1 through like 8 can score 20. They got a complete roster. Their coach is really good. But I think it's going to be a special weekend. I'm excited for everybody to be on that stage. We're going to be locked in, and let us know who you guys have. If you like this episode, definitely subscribe to the channel. Go follow us at Not Even D2. We appreciate all the support, and we'll see you later in the episode. We are here with our guy, Adam Brazil. How you doing today, my guy?
I'm doing good. First, it is Brazil, though.
Brazil. Yo, I mess up everybody's last name. My fault.
You're good, bro.
What's the travel schedule? Talk to me about that, because I know we was talking about it, but just tell the viewers a little about like what the schedule is preparing to go to NYU.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. We're actually going up to Baltimore today and stay the night. Like around Baltimore, go to like a Dave and Buster's and kind of have a good time with the team. And then I think tomorrow we're going up to New York after we practice at Towson, which is near Baltimore, I guess. And then once we get to New York, we're going to go to like some dinner. And then the next day will be Thursday. I think we might go to the Big East tournament. And then Friday is game day. So we're seeing about the Big East, though. We'll see.
That's awesome. I went to the Big East tournament last year, bro. It's a crazy environment in Madison Square Garden. So hopefully you guys get to go.
Yeah, I hope so. It could be really cool.
A quick question for you, Adam. So you guys, you mentioned this when we were talking like off air, but you guys are traveling. Like, you guys are not hosting anymore. So it's a little bit of a different like feeling. Like, you kind of talked about that underdog feeling. So just tell me a little bit about it. Like, how you guys feeling traveling down to New York City?
I mean, we're excited, you know. I mean, it's cool because, like, I'm a fifth-year senior and I don't get to do, like, new stuff often. But, like, going up to New York City to play in the Sweet 16 is something that I've never done before, something that nobody on our team's ever done. And so it's pretty exciting, you know, New York being, like, the biggest city in America versus, like, Farmville, where I usually, you know, am. It's a pretty big switch up. We're looking forward to it. You know, not hosting is obviously, like, a disadvantage. Hosting is a big advantage. And so, you know, like the four teams that hosted last year all went to the Final Four, us, Guilford, Trinity, and Trine. And, you know, we love to have our back against the wall. We love that underdog mentality. So they're sending us up there to New York, and it's like, you know, I don't think anybody expects a team other than NYU to come out of that. So, yeah, we'd love to prove them wrong.
Yeah, nah. Hampton Sydney got dogs, so it's definitely going to be a special weekend. And you mentioned last year you guys made it all the way to the national championship, had a really good year. Obviously, they didn't get the ultimate goal of winning, but it was still a special year. But I'm kind of curious, kind of like how that, you know, what lessons you learned from that run, how that's kind of affected your play this year, because you're having a really good year, ODAC player of the year, but also like some of the older guys, Shane's having a good year. So just talk about how that loss or that run kind of affected you guys going into this year.
Yeah, I mean, it fueled us because, you know, like getting that close and then, you know, coming away with, you know, or coming up short, basically, like being known as like national runner up or national finalist instead of national champion is like, it hurts, you know, it hurts every day. And, you know, when it was on television, like we were all crying on national television. So it's like, there's a lot of pain from that day and a lot of pain from, you know, being so good, but just coming like this short of our ultimate goal. And that pain, you can use it one of two ways. You can use it to let it kill you, or you can let it motivate you. So I think we did that. I know for me at least, like it's a huge driving force to get back to Fort Wayne. And our older guys that, you know, were there or played minutes in those games in Fort Wayne and in front of the biggest crowd ever to watch a Division III national championship game, like we want nothing more than to get back at, you know, to get back there and try to finish the job this time.
Knowing Ryan Clemens, like he watches your games all the time, dude. Like I see on his Instagram story all the time. So I know he wants you guys to get back there, bro. He's rooting for you guys. And just I want you to talk about this one loss that you guys had earlier this year. You guys unfortunately lost in the quarterfinal of the ODAC tournament. And you guys obviously made the NCAA tournament regardless, but you know, I know sometimes when you can lose in the conference tournament, how that feels, especially early on as a top seed. So just talk about how you feel like that loss affected you guys, either positively or negatively.
Yeah, it definitely had a negative effect for about 2 to 5 days or so. And then, you know, we decided we couldn't let it spoil our year and that we still had an opportunity. We had like a second life, but, you know, we lost to Lynchburg at home in the quarterfinals of the ODAC tournament for context. And, you know, Lynchburg was a 7 seed, we're the 2 seed. So, you know, by like any metric, we're expected to win that game. And they came in and punked us, which was just insane because that's like what we hang our hat on is, you know, playing physical, playing hard, you know, being together. And, you know, they played harder, they played tougher, and they were more together. So it was like, it was embarrassing. It was humiliating. But, you know, like a lot of respect to those Lynchburg guys at the same time. They actually went on to the semifinal, played Roanoke, and lost by like 3. And they gave him like a crazy run. I think it was like, I don't know, like 95-92 or something like that. Like it was a crazy game. So Lynchburg can play, and they're part of what makes the ODAC so great is like that depth in the ODAC that, like, you know, anyone can beat anyone on any night. And that's said a lot, but it really is true here. And so like it losing to Lynchburg in the quarterfinals, like we weren't able to go to the Salem Civic Center, which is where the ODAC tournament is held every year for usually the quarterfinals, but this year it changed to just the semifinals. So like we weren't able to go to Salem. I wasn't able to give that experience to the freshmen where like they're able to see Salem. So really like heartbreaking stuff, especially because, you know, we were trying to defend a title there. And yeah, it was really disappointing. And then, you know, we had like a team meeting, just players and managers, no coaches. And you know, we kind of talked about like what happened and like why it can't happen again and what we need to do to ensure that it doesn't happen again. And, you know, what do we look like when we're at our best? What does that mean for us? It's like, we're flying around, we're being scrappy, we're together, we're playing hard. And our bench energy is crazy. And so like we came away from that meeting with just like the idea that nobody was going to play harder than us. Nobody's going to be more together than us, and nobody's going to have better bench energy than us. And then since then we've rolled off 2 wins in a row, and now we're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. No, that definitely stems. I feel like at least from like Kimbro, just giving you guys that empowerment, like from the jump, we're SOE, but what does that actually mean? Like how is this group going to be the best version of themselves? And it comes from you guys. It's not like, he's telling you how to, you know, be the best version of yourself. That's got to come inwards. And shout out to you, because Like, I know you're one of the leaders on the team, so getting the guys back locked in after a tough loss, that's big time. And that kind of leads me into this next point. So last game you guys played Pitt Brad, they're a heavy running jump. They're pressing all 40 minutes. And then this next game against Redlands, they're going to be kind of the same, not really running jump, but intense full court energy the whole time. So just talk about, like, as a point guard, as a leader, how your mindset is preparing for those big games, especially, like, when a team's going to be all in your shit throughout the whole game.
I mean, I think it's a fun challenge, first of all, because it's like you don't get to play against teams that do that like often. And so it's a fun atmosphere when you do. Usually it's like a little higher scoring game, so maybe it's more fun for the fans. There's a lot of like fun involved in a playing a team that you've never played, with guys that you're unfamiliar with like a lot on the line. So there's a lot of fun involved, but there's also a lot of like, you know, preparation and seriousness involved as well. So, you know, what we've been doing is just, we're super focused on us. Cause like if we went through the entire tournament, we were just focused on the other team. Then like you would have less than 24 hours to prepare, from that Friday to Saturday game. And so like, you can't figure out what a team's going to do in 24 hours and, figure out a way to shut that down and like what you're going to do against them. So, like, you just have to be better at doing you than they are at doing them. And so, you know, they're probably thinking the same thing, but, yeah, we have to want the ball against the full court pressure. So like, we got to try to get open and like really want the ball. I mean, any kind of pass, you got to meet the ball. And we always say like, you know, against a team that presses, like you're not going to break the press every single time perfectly. Like you're going to turn it over, but it's not about that turnover. It's about like being together and getting back to neutral and like next play speed as quick as we can. And like throughout the course of 40 minutes, like if we do that, then we like where we'll end up.
It's interesting you bring that up, Adam, because it's like when you're doing scout, like it's tough to replicate like a press or like full court constant pressure. Like, you know what I mean? You can't really do it. So it's like, yeah, maybe you do it in the half court to try and show like how they set up. But regardless, like you talk about, like it's the mindset of wanting the ball, creating space, and you know what I'm saying, being strong with the ball. So, Adam, just give us an insight into, you know, your mindset heading to this weekend. Like, what are your final words against Redlands? You know, just give the viewers a little bit of insight to how Adam Brazel is feeling.
I'm feeling fun. I'm feeling like it's really, really fun to just work really hard and see what could happen. And to find joy in the process. You know, like if all you do is find joy in the outcome, then you'll never be fulfilled. And so like, I'm just trying to set that example for the team that like the joy comes from the doing, not like what's done. And so like going to New York and like going to Dave and Buster's and hanging out with the team meals, like we all know what you're going to miss the most about basketball and like, especially college basketball. It's not really even the games, like a little bit, it's like the competitive, you know, like, energy and like steam you're able to like let off and stuff like that. But it's mostly just the relationships with your teammates and the locker room stuff and the coaches, of course. And so I guess we're just trying to like, you know, we've worked really hard for several months as a team. And, you know, we have half our team has been here before for 1 to 4 years. And the other half is a newcomer. So first year in the program. And so we've got a, like a really unique team, but we've been working really hard and it's just fun to see what could happen. That's all. It's like, and we like us, of course. So it's like, you know, I can't say anything specifically about Redlands. I don't know too much about them other than, you know, like respect. They're a great team. They're in Sweet 16, of course. But I don't have anything specifically about that game. And I'm just excited to go to New York City and you know, be with my team and compete for a spot in the Elite Eight and then hopefully the Final Four, but one game at a time.
Oh, yeah. I definitely love that answer. I might take a quote from that and add it to my quotes list. So I appreciate you. And good luck this weekend, bro. Definitely going to be watching. Put on a show, and hopefully we get you back on the show.
Dude, thank you guys for having me. I love what you guys do for D3. It's really, really cool. I had a podcast of my own a couple years ago, but I couldn't really figure out the niche. I just wanted to talk about basketball. And so, like, I got a lot of respect for what you guys do with, you know, targeting the D3 community kind of and, like, giving a voice to players like me who, you know, wouldn't have a voice without you guys. So I really appreciate y'all.
That's love, bro.
That's love, gang. Appreciate you.
All right, we are here with that boy, Chosen Amadi. How you doing today, guy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How ya?
Chilling, bro. Appreciate you getting on. Tell us about this week, bro. What does it look like heading into Friday? Travel and all that.
We got practice today. We got lift practice, and then we practice tomorrow morning before we fly out. We got a six flight to Atlanta. We got like a 6-hour flight, something like that. Up to New York, so we've been traveling a lot lately.
Oh, yo, has that been like, I don't want to say like hard for you guys, but obviously like you're not playing in the West Coast, you got to fly to the East region, so that's dealing with like time differences and stuff too. So just talk about how that's affected you or the team.
We kind of just been trying to stick to the same routine and stuff, so it kind of keeps us on track, like time wise. Been drinking a lot of water, just trying to stay hydrated. Like that's one of the main things that like our coaches have been harping on us, just like get a lot of water and make sure we're getting as much sleep as we can. I'll be back. And then just sticking to our routine of things. So travel hasn't been like too crazy. Flew to Boston, coming back to LA, and then we going back out to New York. Like it's a crazy travel. Yeah, no, it's crazy. I feel like I'm in the league or something.
That's fire, bro. I mean, shit, y'all played Tufts is a crazy ass gym, and now you guys are going to NYU. NYU is really nice, bro. So it's gonna be a crazy environment in there too.
Yeah. So I mean, it's gonna be fun. I mean, we've done a lot of traveling. We went to Ohio last year, so we did like a kind of an East Coast type of trip, or like Midwest, I guess. We'd been to like Costa Rica with the team, so we've done like some traveling before. So I feel like all that stuff kind of prepared us for it.
That's super tough, Brody. Yeah. Talking about like preparation a little bit. So when we were reading the questions, we learned that you tore your ACL last year. Yeah. And you know, I've had teammates who have hurt their ACL too. And it's a long process, bro. It's a long process. A lot of, you know, tough nights. You know, I know how the PT gets and stuff like that. So just talk about how this offseason was for you and how you were able to come back and produce at such a high level after that injury, bro.
It was all kind of a mindset thing for me. I tore my ACL January 2023 and didn't get surgery until after the season was over. So like, I stayed with the team and I did a 14-month rehab. Like, I like could have came back a little earlier, but I didn't feel like I was where I wanted to be weight-wise. I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of went into it, just rehabbing. You come out, you can't walk for like 6 weeks. I tore my ACL and I like tweaked my medial meniscus so that I couldn't like walk for 6 weeks. I mean, just locked up. You lose like every muscle in your leg. You got to learn how to walk again, learn how to run again. Basically, like, you don't ever like lose the feeling of hoop, but you got to like learn how to hoop again.
Yeah.
And like get all the like, just like, it's like a dance to it, basically. So like, you just got to learn how to dance again and all that stuff. So it was rough. I mean, I live in Redlands, California. I rehabbed in Irvine, California, which is about an hour away from here. So I figured out a way, bought a car. I didn't have a car out here at the time. So bought a car and just started like, I'm out to rehab like 4-5 times a week. Like my PT, he was dope. Brian, he was awesome. They all helped me out over there. And then once I was able to like get back on the court in like 6 months time, I was on the court as much as I can. So, I mean, it was more of a mindset, just telling myself like, as soon as I got out of surgery, I was like, I'm healed. Like, I got to put in the work, but I'm healed. Like, I got no problem with my knee. So I was just, that's just kind of how I thought about it.
And I respect to you, bro. You got it done. That's a tough process. And you said like you had to buy a car just to get to PT. I respect that, bro. Not everybody would go through that type of process. And now you first team all conference, having a really good year. But I want to talk about, you know, your guys run to the tournament so far. You guys lost in the SKYAC tournament. It was the semifinal game?
Yeah, we lost the semifinal.
Yeah, so that hurts in itself, losing the conference tourney, but you guys had a really good year. So got into the tournament, beat St. Joseph's of Maine, and then I want to talk specifically about, like, the Tufts game too, because that was an overtime game. So just talk about, like, this run for Redlands so far. Give the viewers a little context, like, from Claremont Mud Scripts to where you guys are right now.
We was on a crazy run. I think we were like 12. We were on a 12-game or 11-game winning streak before that Claremont game. Came in kind of on a high. We beat Claremont once. We lost them once, beat them once. But they're, like, one of the toughest teams in SCAC and really one of the toughest teams in the country. Okay. Like, they have A.J. Rahosi, who could be a D3 All-American, like, All-American, could be a player of the year, to be honest. And, you know, that was a challenge in itself. So, coming in, we lost the halftime at halftime by, like, 20. We're down 21 in the second half, and then just kind of just sparred our way back. I lost it at the end, but that was a good lesson loss for us, just like letting us know we can't really come into any game like too high or like really feeling like ourselves or feeling better than what we are. You know, we have to like always stay humble with our stuff. So losing that helped. I think we got into the tournament, and then I mean St. Joe's, they were a really good team. We got like a good cushion early, and then they started clawing their way back, and we just kind of going back and forth with them. And then just like leading up to Tufts. Tufts is a really good team. You know, we're playing in Boston, we're playing at this spot. We got 8 fans. We got like 2 moms, that, 2 like team moms, and like another fan. You feel me? The rest is blue. And like, I don't know if y'all ever been to Tufts before, but like, it's like old school type of gym, but with a good like modern feel, but it's just people like all around. And I feel like as the game progressed, like more people were coming in, and like it just got real loud. The student section is wild, and they're saying whatever to us. Like they're talking to me like the whole game. I'm on the bench, they still talking to me. Like it's crazy, but it was fun. Like I love that atmosphere. That's fun to play in. And you know, Tufts got on us early. We try to like get them out of rhythm a little bit, and they like really controlled the game, and then you know things started to crack for us, and then you know we got a couple chances to go up, and then around the end of that game, going into before overtime, I mean we just had a look, and guys trusted me with the ball, got a good shot off, and then overtime we're here, like I don't think y'all want to be pressured for another 5 minutes of the game, and well, that's when we were able to kind of take control of the game for a little bit.
Nah, yeah, bro. Real quick, Ruta, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it seems like you talked about the Claremont Mud Scripts. You guys are down 20, I think you said, and then Tufts, you guys are down 17 in the second half. So what is it about, like, what's going on in these huddles? Like, how are you guys able to just stay, like, the game's not over, we could still win this game? Like, talk about that.
Honestly, like, we don't have, like, one sole leader that I think that's what, like, really helps us. Like, I feel like a lot of people have, like, this one, like, voice that, like, kind of, like, tries to bring everybody together. And everyone's just, like everyone's just kind of just being real positive. We talk to ourselves. We do a lot of positive affirmations, a lot of mental stuff. And we generally, like, I feel like we just genuinely love each other as a team. So we just try to, like, just keep putting things together. We try to put things together as they're going. Yeah, I don't know, like, we're not really saying nothing different, to be honest. It's like, hey, we down right now, we need to put together stops. We just keep on a build, break, and then next thing you know, it becomes a good little show for us, so. Mm-hmm.
Bro, yeah. You got to have a lot of toughness as both an individual player, but as a team to, like, come back from those double-digit deficits, bro, because sometimes you're in the moment, you're looking at that, but you're looking at the score, like the box score, you're like, damn, all right, we got to keep getting these stops, bro, you know what I mean? But you guys are staying together as a team and staying locked in, so you guys are getting it done.
Yeah, there's not like a 17 point play or nothing like that. It's just like,
yeah,
so y'all gave us time, and we know like something's gonna crack for us. Like I think the first half we shot like 25% or something like that. Like we didn't shoot that well from the floor, and we was like, all right, we just gotta keep like putting together stops, and that lid's gonna open up for us. And luckily it did, you know, we were blessed to kind of be put in that position. So, you know, we just keep chipping away, just trying to be us. And that's the main thing.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, looking at the play-by-play, like, you guys were down. You guys were down by 13 with, like, 8 minutes to go in the second half. Like, yeah. that's your back's kind of – it's not against the wall per se, but it's like you – I feel like if I was in that moment, I would be like, damn, all right, we got to get this thing going. But you guys got it done, like I said.
Yeah, I feel like none of us like look at the score. Like, I think that's another that's helpful. You got nobody like trying to remind you, hey, we're down 13 or we down 10. Like, we just like, hey, like we hop in another huddle, tap in, let's keep working. Like, we have something that, like, we keep telling ourselves, like, tap in, or we have different things that we, like, say and do to keep us all engaged and keep us, like, focused on the next play. And, you know, as long as we just kind of keep stringing along plays, and things start to work out in our favor.
Tough, bro. Yeah. So I had a question for you. So, obviously, you know, I've been watching the NCAA tournament, watching Redlands play, but before this, complete honesty, bro, I was a little unfamiliar with your school or how you guys played. So, but I heard about the defense, like the intense pressure, all that stuff. Yeah. So just describe the play style for Redlands and give an insight to Redlands basketball for someone who doesn't know.
Redlands basketball, we play up and down, we play fast, pressure the ball, and we just like to get out and run. I feel like that's – we got a lot of talented guys from top to bottom. We got a lot of JUCO transfers that came in, and we're, like, great guys at their school. Like, we had Kendrick Curry, who's that, like, coming out of JUCO, was, like, almost averaging a triple-double. Like, he was going crazy. You got Amari Ferguson, who was averaging, like, 20 a game at his JUCO, going crazy. So, like, you know, I have a bunch of, like, great individual talents. And, you know, our coach does a really good job of just helping us buy into – or, like, teaching how to buy into to his play style. You know, one, he'd really muck up the game and just play fast. And then, yeah, we just guarded 94 feet, just trying to create a little bit of chaos for
it. You guys definitely create some chaos. And one matchup I'm kind of curious about, we just got done recording with Adam Brazel, one of the best players in the country, having a really good year at the point guard position. I'm kind of curious, like, if you could talk about who's got that matchup, what the defensive game plan is to stop a player like him.
Honestly, we don't really talk defensive game plans until probably, like, the game of or something like that. So I couldn't really tell y'all too much about, like, what's the complete game plan. But I just know for the most part, just, you know, trying to make shots difficult for him. He's a really good player. And, I mean, I watched a little bit of his game, and dude's fast, he's quick, he's getting up and down the floor, he hits a lot of tough shots. So just trying to just make his looks a little difficult, and just make it a little more uncomfortable for him. And, you know, we just stick to just playing our way and try to just get teams to play at our pace.
Yeah. I find it, not to give too much context into what we was talking about, but both of you guys not really worried about the opponent. It's like we're super inwards and how we're going to win this game. So that's interesting. But I got one more question for you, and it's basically just like, what's your final words for this matchup for Redlands against Hampton Sydney?
I mean, shit, we're just blessed to be in this opportunity, just able to play in a tournament. Like, I'm able to travel across the country playing basketball. We all travel across the country playing basketball. So, like, you know, it's grateful for us to be able to do this just because of hoops. So, just wanted to keep it up and going into the game, just, you know, just want to go out there and just have a really good game, have a lot of fun, and just try to keep it going for my guys. Like I said, we all really love each other. And we all just, like, we just really love each other. We really love hoop. So that's all I can really say about it.
Nah, respect, bro. Definitely good luck to you and the Redlands guys. We're going to be tapped in. And appreciate you getting on, bro.
Yeah, appreciate y'all for having me.
We are here with our boy, Tristan Howe. How you doing today, bro?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the weather in New York. It's getting a little warmer these days.
Bro, it's definitely almost that summertime vibe. You love to see it. You love to see it for sure.
I love it.
Yo, where are you, like, where do you live when you're not at school?
Lower East Side of New York. So very, like, two subway stops from Washington Square Park, which is, you know, where the Paulson Center is, where we play and my classes and stuff are, besides Midtown. So very close.
Great area, bro. Great area of New York City.
Yeah, you're a fan?
Oh, yeah. I went to like elementary school in the Lower East Side, bro, and like Avenue A. So I'm very familiar with that area.
Yes, I will see a mix of like adults and then like little kids walking around. So I know there's a school around here somewhere.
Yeah, very accurate, bro. That's how it is.
One thing else. I feel like this is, you guys are one of the only schools that are still doing this, but since the girls are so good playing on their side, you guys have to like switch weekends. Has that been like a weird thing for you guys, or it's just you guys are comfortable playing on the road?
Yeah, I mean, what a good problem to have. Like, both the programs are so good. But, yeah, I think, like, I didn't know that coming into, like, D3, but kind of learned it as we were preparing for the tournament. think you fight all season to be the high seed to get the home court advantage. But for that to happen, it kind of sucks. But, I mean, it was honestly a great test for us to go the first weekend and be on the road. You know, the first game was neutral, but the second game we played the host team. So that was, like, a very tough environment, a very much an away environment. But, you know, we got the job done, and I think we're built to handle that adversity. And it kind of sucks that, you know, now the women are on the road for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, probably harder games. So, yeah, like, it sucks, but you accept it because that's the reality and you move on. And I think we both have a good chance to make it to that last week in the Final Four.
Sure. Yeah, no, 100%, bro. I definitely think that's going to help you guys a little bit, because then when you get into, like, a neutral site or, you know, like, Final Four talk, then you're not shocked when there's an away crowd bugging. Like, you played in York already, and I saw that game. It was definitely 100%. Fun there. You mentioned, like, this your first year in D3, and for the viewers that don't know, you actually played at Virginia D1. So I'm kind of curious, like, how'd you end up at NYU? You're a grad transfer, but just, like, what was the reason for NYU and the reason to come down to D3?
Absolutely. So I was a walk-on at the University of Virginia, so very much a different role than I have now. One, just grinding in practice, making sure the guys who are going to play are prepped. And I think it was, like, midway through my senior year, I was really entertaining the thought of doing a fifth year at the D3 level, just to have the opportunity to play and, like, exercise the skill, all the work I've been putting in, because I felt very confident in my game. I just knew it wasn't, like, to play at Virginia. So once I realized, you know, I like to do this, you know, do a fifth year at D3, I kind of thought about, all right, you know, I want to go to a good program where we have the opportunity to, you know, just win games. I didn't even think about, like, the conference or a championship. I was like, I just want to go to a good program. You know, the academics had to be good. I wasn't willing to compromise that just for basketball. And then just, like, be in a different environment. I kind of grew up around the Virginia, D.C. area my whole life. So those are kind of my three factors. And it came down to NYU and Johns Hopkins, you know, both great programs. But I think Hopkins was just a little too close to home. And when I took my visit to NYU, it was like New York is its own animal. I'd been in New York once before my visit. And I was like, yeah, this is wild. But I knew it was like an environment I'd grow in. I immediately clicked with the guys, you know, co-captain Zay Franey. He was like, if you want to live like in our apartment, we have an open spot. I'm like, that takes a lot of stress off. So I think it all really worked out. And obviously we're having a great season. I'm having a great individual season, and very thankful that I ended up here.
Bro, that's awesome that you're enjoying your time in D3 and living in New York City. Really happy for you, bro. And I'm just wondering if we talked about this off air, but if you can give the viewers a little bit of an insight to just the locker room in Division 3, because everyone always talks about how Division 3 locker room is so great. And obviously Division 1, you made a lot of great connections, but just talk about your lone year in D3 so far, bro.
Yeah. I love that question. I'd say, you know, in D3 really is a composition of a bunch of guys who I think really just love the game for the game, mostly. And I think a big contributor to our success on the court has been like the culture of the locker room. And it's kind of astounding because it's such a mix of like, what do we have, like 8, 9 like new guys, like a freshman and the rest are grad transfers, like, and then the returners. So it's a very much a mix of like new guys and returners. And we had to figure that out as we go. And I think we've just done an excellent job of just being open and communicating. You know, we have a lot, we're all like friends off the court, which is awesome. But the fact that we're just close in that locker room and there's like very little internal fracturing allows us to be very successful on the court and like play for each other on the court. So that's very much been like, you know, a quality of our season that's not really talked about, but has been huge in the way we've been able to perform this year.
Yeah, I mean, Team Chem, it's kind of getting undervalued, like, as we move along in basketball, but it's definitely still, like, you know, the teams that win, you can definitely see, like, the chemistry within those programs. And one thing I was wondering, bro, because you're having, like you said, a great year, one of the best players in Division III right now, definitely going to be an All-American, averaging close to a double-double, one of the most efficient players, too, at that. So I'm really wondering, like, how are you balancing, like, staying efficient but also being dominant, like picking your spots in a like conscious way? Just talk to me about like your mindset on the court.
Yeah, I think it all starts with obviously just like putting in the reps and building confidence in that way. And I think the way I've been able to really serve this team is in like the scoring and rebounding capacity. And I think, you know, Coach Klatsky's philosophy is like, it's very much about getting the most efficient shot, which is like layups and open threes. So just striving for that, you know, and trying to work my way in the system of like, how can I get these open shots? So I think part of it is like, as a function of the way we play, I'm getting open looks, you know, I'm putting in the reps. And I also think, you know, something that has really allowed me to excel at this level is just, you know, really working in the weight room. And that's something I really did at UVA to prepare me for this time and continuing it at NYU, just so I can be strong around the rim, finish through contact, and also just like being able to be fatigued and finish and knock down those open threes. So yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's just going out there, trusting the work you put in and having fun. And I just happen to be really efficient. And that's awesome.
I'm all about trusting the work, bro. So I love that. And physicality is a big thing in Division III too, that isn't really talked about. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Talking about just 1 year transitions, like this is your first year in the NCAA tournament, bro. Like, so this is kind of probably all new for you. Right. And I'm wondering, like, how are you continuing success from UAA play to the NCAA tournament? One, but two, how are you yourself kind of adjusting to the NCAA tournament, like on the fly?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it was great that I think we lost to Emory at home. I forget, maybe like January is our second UAA game. You know, after that we haven't lost, so we've been able to build that momentum, winning the UAA outright, which last year it was shared. So outright is like a big deal for this program, the men's program, and to kind of carry that momentum into the tournament. We very much are clicking. I think we're very much clicking right now and flowing. And I would say that, you know, as a walk-on, so I wasn't really playing in the NCAA tournament, but during my time at UVA, I was a part of it twice. It was like the first four and then actually like in the first round on two separate years, and we lost both games. So I haven't experienced winning in the tournament yet, but that are until we won in the round of 64 and 32, which was super exciting. But I think it's weird. Like, it's, you know, from the UVA experience, I know what it's like to, like, you know, now if you lose, you go home. We lost and we went home. Like, that's just weird, you know, and it just stops. So just trying to come back to that memory and communicate that to the guys and the guys who've been here who have lost in the tournament. It's like, if we lose, we go home. But we're very confident in our ability to win, and we just got to be present and focus on what's in front of us and not think about, like, you know, the alternative. If we don't win, what's going to happen? Just focus on what's in front of us and do what we do, and the results will take care of themselves.
Yeah, 100%. You were – when one of the first four games was against Colorado State?
Yes, that was the one.
Rude, that was Joe Palmer and them, yeah.
That was great. They're a great team. We just struggled to put that ball in the basket. But, yeah, that was last year for me.
Word. And to go back on one of your points, like, you guys just got to stay present. I'd be seeing – tell Hampton he got to get on that mode because he be posting four more, like – every time you guys win, so he got to stay a little more present. But I want to talk about this next matchup against Hardin-Simmons, and yeah, they got a few bigs that are having pretty good years. Like, I forgot his name, Austin something, but he's like 6'10", having average double double. And you're also going to be battling against those guys down low. So just talk about this matchup a little bit, and like specifically the big man matchup, how you're preparing for that.
Yeah, I think we're really excited. We're going to start really heavily scouting today. But we know they have the bigs. They go to him a lot, a 6'10 guy. They're a really talented group, right? Like, I hadn't heard of really Hardin-Simmons before this. They struggled like early in the year, but they really like picked it up and won maybe their last 10 or 11. So it's going to be a great matchup. I think, you know, as with every opponent, we scout well. We try and play to the tendencies, you know, take them out of that. But at the end of the day, it's about us, and like that's been our theme of like, we're gonna get to our game first, you're gonna play our way, you know, and we're just gonna, you know, play how we do on offense, having a lot of fun moving the ball, on defense being really tenacious, you know, with the bigs, you know what they like to do, and if they want to post up, making sure they're playing against the whole team and not just one-on-one. So I think we'll really dive into that prep, and I'm excited for the matchup. You know, I'm really excited. I don't know if we play like a 6'10 dude in the UAA. I'm trying to think. But yeah, it should be an exciting matchup for sure.
Definitely excited to watch it, bro. And, you know, we're going to end it straight like this. What should we expect from NYU for the rest of the tournament, bro? NYU and both Tristan Howell.
Yeah.
Winning is the first thing I would say. You should expect, like, I think, great and passion and teamwork. I mean, those have been, like, the keys for the way we play. Like, really, I think people enjoy the way we play because we really move the ball. We find the guy who's hot, and we're just, like, super intense on both ends of the floor. Like, if you come in and watch an NYU game, you're going to be on the edge of your seat because you see these guys in purple or white, like, truly battling for that win. And I think we have four more in us, you know, one more at a time, but I think we have a really good chance to make it to the next weekend and come out on top.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching, tuned in. So good luck this weekend, bro. We definitely, like I said, we're going to be watching. I'm rooting for Tristan Howell.
Sir.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, we are going to end this episode with our segment of Only in D3, where we give like a little story, something like that, that describes what it's like to be a D3 student athlete. So I'm going to bring it back to freshman year, bro. And this is not even that crazy. It's just I'm out of season. I don't have that much to tell you guys. But so freshman year, we had a JV team that year. Like, it was all the people on the JV team are on our varsity team. So we were playing Houghton, and they had the similar thing. They had a JV team, but all those players were playing varsity as well. So the varsity game was scheduled before the JV game, which is already some D3 shit. Like, with the real game was before, like, the, I don't want to say fake game to like deteriorate that game, but basically I'm saying it's a lower level. So yeah. Varsity game goes, boom, it's like a blowout. So like both benches, like the last man on the roster, they're all going in. So then it's like the last 5 minutes, bro, and they're playing hard as hell. So then the game's over and the JV game starts, and the starting five from both teams are like people that was just playing, bro. It just was an interesting concept to me, like that the varsity game's going first, and then we're watching the same teams play against each other, bro. It was funny, but definitely I miss having a JV team, bro. It was always jokes watching them, like, not to be that guy, but the guys on the varsity team that were playing would just be in the crowd laughing and shit. But good memories, freshman year, bro, for sure.
OD. My only in D3 story would be so the NCAA tournament, you know, we played in Montclair, and WNE was playing Hamilton in the first round. And it's not like a crazy story that I have, bro, but, you know, obviously, you know, Hamilton's kind of a crosstown rival. And so I think some of my teammates are rooting for WNE a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. Personally, like, I fuck with Hank big time and Teja, so, and my boy Cooper, and Owen Kane too, so I fuck with all those guys, and so I, you know, I root for them individually, but as a team, I don't know, but yeah, so they were playing WNE, but I also know someone on WNE too, bro. I know number 22 Jake Harrison. Mm. And he's killing for them, bro. I mean, WNE's in the Sweet 16 right now.
Uh-huh.
So just watching the game, like, some of my teammates was like, Hank didn't have his best day, and Jake was guarding him. So anytime, like, you know, Hank would miss, basically, everyone would, like, look at me and be like, yo, what's up? What's up with your man today? I'm like, bro, what you mean? Like, my boy Jake playing good defense. Like, it's a win-win for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay. And
it was just funny, like, what are the moments, like, I don't think some of my teammates believe me that I was, like, close with the kid on WNE because they had never seen me talk to him before. Mm-hmm. But in the middle, after he got an N1, I'm like, I'm right behind their bench. I'm like, let's fucking go, boy. He turns around, gives me a big-ass dap. He's like, they can't fuck with us. They can't fuck with us. I'm like, yeah. And then my son Jordan, one of the freshmen, he was like, Reuter just got some cool points for that. I was like, oh, I'm cool. I'm cool with Jordan. I'm lit. So kind of a funny moment in D3 interacting with, you know, players in the game. It was kind of
No, that's dope, bro. Our network's definitely expanding. Like, any D3 game, there's some type of tie we have, which is mad.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. It was crazy. But with Jake, it wasn't a tie with the pod. It was we had played AAU together. So that was my boy from back in the jiggy, but you were 100% right. It is crazy. Like, in every single pod, we like people was matching up against each other that, you know, we interviewed and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of super tough.
and it's expanded D1. We about to be happening with that. So definitely like this episode, subscribe, go follow, all that support. We need it. And
thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.